Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam, and here's Danielle.
Hello. I have that, like, gross Sunday evening feeling.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Like, that starting the week. Yeah. Stressed out. The kitchen's a mess. We didn't do nearly what we anticipated getting done this weekend.
Oh, we got a lot done. I kind of disagree with that. I think we got a lot done.
We did?
Yeah.
All right.
Good. I just thought you meant because we were up really late. We watched Coming to America.
Coming to America. And we were extremely happy.
Yes.
They did not ruin it. They did not ruin the first masterpiece.
No. See, that's a movie that could easily be redone 25 years later. You know, to do a sequel and be like, oh, did they really need to do that?
Everybody was nervous.
It was so good.
We loved it. And our son loved it. Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised.
And everybody is really hot in that movie, by the way.
Every single person in that movie is hot.
Enjoy watching it for that reason, too.
Right. But I am excited. As much as I have that gross Sunday feeling, I'm super excited about this episode. We had so much fun talking to Penn and Kim Holderness. And I loved hanging with them. I felt like after this is over, this whole COVID thing is over, I could sit down for hours, like with wine with them and just chat and chill.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun because we talked about fighting and fighting styles, and we haven't really...
Always a fun conversation.
But we talk about that a lot on our own here. We've never really had a conversation with another couple about fighting and fighting styles. So it was a lot of fun to see an insight into their fighting styles and, you know, how they came to be with the book that they're writing about fighting. And so I thought it was really interesting and a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah.
Penn and Kim met in Orlando while working in local news and were married in 2005. In 2013, they left the TV business. We talk all about that during the episode and launched a digital content company called Green Room Communications. Part of that launch was a video called Christmas Jammies. We also talk about that. That went viral. 7 years later, their videos have resulted in over a billion with a B, views and 4.5 million followers across social media. Their family also continues to be one of the most sought after content creators for family brands. They just wrote a book called Everybody Fights, in which they worked for a long time with their marriage coach, trying to figure out how to fight better. The book is available for pre-order on their website, The Holderness Family, and on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or wherever you get your books. Check it out. They gave a lot of good insight during the episode, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So, so happy to have you guys here. And it's fun to talk to another couple who is in a similar situation, although you guys are like, you know, the 4.0 version of what we're doing, because you guys are like... You're doing everything together.
She wasn't complimenting us. Like, I know you were she was saying that you guys are insane because you're always together doing everything, like writing a book and doing a podcast and working full time as owners of a company.
Is this full time for you two? Is this like what you do?
Yeah, it's a weird way to pay a mortgage. Our parents still don't understand it. We barely understand it. So we quit our jobs in the TV news business. And I had started a little production company, social media marketing company. He was still working as a news anchor, never saw the kids. And so I said, let's just come like shoot and edit videos. And we thought we'd be making like local TV commercials. And then we did that like really cringy Christmas Jammies video. And it got like 17,000 million, I don't know, millions of views. And it changed our lives. Like, we didn't even know you could make money on YouTube. We got a deposit into our bank account like that January for December. You guys, you could make money on YouTube. We had no idea.
Our parents still don't understand. Like, they still reach out to us and say, like, do you need to borrow money? Are you okay?
So it's a super, and we didn't even get it for the longest time. For a couple of years, sure. We didn't even really get it. And so when we started just making more regular videos and just like inside baseball, like those ads you see that run before the videos on YouTube, like creators get a portion of that, like a small portion of that. And then we work with brands, you know, we partner with brands. So that's another thing. Like it is super weird. We had no business plan for that, but yeah, here we are.
Well, it's interesting because I always think about the first time we were about to record a podcast episode. And like, I look back on that now and I'm like, how did we like think that, where did we get the, like the bravery for that? Where did we get the courage for that? And our whole backstory is, you know, we were going through like major problems and everything, but yours was this video. What was the backstory on that? Like, how did you get into jammies and like whose idea was it? How does that happen that you're like, let's get on YouTube? Because I am so impressed. First of all, anytime I do a video, I look like I'm dancing the robot because I'm so uncomfortable. But you guys are so natural. And it seemed from that first video, like it just came to you. So what was that, the dynamic there?
Well, they're obviously, I'm going to answer for you, by the way.
Adam, tell us.
I will tell you.
How did they start?
Well, obviously, you're both talented. Like, you're a musician, right? So you're a singer, you play the guitar, like you're obviously a performer.
And I'm a backup dancer. My dream was to always be a backup dancer for Britney Spears. I feel like I'm in my 40s. It could totally happen.
Why not? She's like, you guys are both keeping it tight.
I mean, Britney 2.0, I feel like it's coming.
Well, so.
Well, Danielle always said to me, like, we need to do videos. We need to do something. And I was like, yeah, we should. And then I watch you guys and I'm like, that's why we don't.
Right. Good point.
So now, hang on now, because I bet you could do videos. So we happen to be very fortunate at the way that the world had converged into a space where instead of having like polished $1 million productions, they were starting to watch smaller content on places like YouTube. And on places like YouTube, you had to do something entertaining. You had to be able to write, you had to be able to shoot, and you had to be able to edit. So the musical part we grew up doing, I grew up as a musician, Kim grew up as a dancer. But then when we went to work for local news for over a decade, which we did, you had to learn how to write and shoot and edit everything by yourself. Because we weren't like super fancy.
We weren't like the fancy news people. Yeah. We were like the, you have to DIY news people.
At least for the first several years, we had to do all of it ourselves. So, you know, the short answer is we did that video because our kids wouldn't sit still for a Christmas card. And Kim said, why don't we do a parody song just talking about our year? Because in the South, they do these like, notes
like a newsletter about what, like, your year's like.
Susan just graduated abroad from Hawaii.
She studied abroad in Hawaii. So
it was kind of like a playoff of that, of what happened in our family, but we did it with music.
And I as soon as like we started dating, I put us in matching Christmas jammies for Christmas. Yeah. Like even before we had kids, I was like, you were wearing matchy jammies. And then of course when we had kids, we just had matching Christmas jammies. Yeah. And so I said, why don't we, and this is how it goes most of the time for us. So I say, why don't we do blank? Like, why don't we do something on slime? Why don't we do something on Lola? My daughter just told me you can't have a side part and wear skinny jeans anymore. Why don't we do this? And then Penn goes off into his like weird, like musician hole. And he comes out with like, how about this? Like, and so he writes these songs. I have zero to do with that besides the initial spark.
No, you're the thing that you yank.
Oh, I pull cord.
She's the Yankee cord of the lawnmower.
Yeah, or like the doll, like that you pull the string on.
I do not mow my own lawn. You don't. I just called it a Yankee cord.
This is why.
Yankee.
Is that pretty much like you both have your own roles? Because that's how it works for us. We both have, and we don't step on each other's toes. And you know,
that's
like
starting to change a little bit.
Oh shit! Am I stepping?
No, because you know, look.
It's funny. You literally stepped on her toe right now.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right.
Very well done.
No, but I work full time. I run a family small business, which is very, very time consuming. And when we started this thing, it was like, okay, I'll show up and talk or do my thing, whatever you tell me to do, I'm here to do. And the background stuff that the editing, the tech stuff, the the stuff that nobody sees or knows about it, and I'll learn as I go because I don't know about any of this stuff. I just kind of learned as we started. And luckily, we had Danielle, who is stay-at-home mom, for so many years. She was able to start writing and transition very easily into this and not have to, leave a job or to not have to leave something. So she was easily able to walk into her role in this, which is what she's kind of wanted to do her whole life, which is writing. And
that's awesome.
What else would you like to do for the rest of your life?
I mean,
no, but my point is, I don't have a lot of time to devote and dedicate to this. So it's either my mornings, my nights, and my weekends, in which I still have to worry about.
So that was, and I know you're in the family business, right? So
it's
yeah.
So that makes it a little complicated. So that's right. What ended. So I had started with a business partner. We had started this, it was like presentation, like public speaking training, video production, social media marketing, like anything anybody needed us to do. We're like, do you do that? We're like, yes, we do. How to do it. And then he worked 3 to midnight. And so he would wake up. And that's why he didn't see the kids because they were in school.
Yeah.
He would wake up and edit all of our videos. He would do all the technical stuff for us. So he was working these crazy 16-hour days. And that's when I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're just going to quit your job. I know he made like 6 figures and had benefits. And I'm like, I'm asking, like some months we had 2 months of savings in our savings account. And no recurring clients, no clients that were on the hook for 6 months even. And I was like, let's just see. And I did some math about what was the least we could get by with, like what's the least amount of money to pay our mortgage and car payments and stuff like that. And buy benefits and all that stuff. And we did it, which is, can you believe we did that?
I'm just sitting here shaking my head, looking back on it. And it didn't make any sense that we did it.
No.
We threw away a lot of money. And I'll never forget. I put in my notice and I was like walking out and I was meeting them at dinner afterwards. And I was like terrified that I'd done the wrong thing. Right. Like I'm like, shoot. But a different word.
You can curse on this podcast. It's okay.
Yeah. Like and so I get to dinner and they're waiting for me in the parking lot with like posters, like saying we're proud. No one has ever made me a we're proud of you daddy poster.
That'd be weird if like an old girlfriend did. That'd be
stupid. I've never gone away for like a 6 month intern. Like there's never like a welcome.
Or like back. After you conceived your child, if Kim had like.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, dad.
That would have been terrible.
That would have been terrible.
But I like teared up a little bit and I was like, okay, these guys are on my team and we're going to do this. And my kids, I think we're legitimately happy because we got to
like hang out all the time.
Have more of a relationship. And,
but this never would have happened if he could not have like been totally committed to it. And the whole like nights, weekends, I major props to you for like doing this in the morning and the evenings. Cause it's hard to shift. I think it's, for me, it's hard to shift gears. And I know this is not what you're like, you wanted to talk about, but I admire people who do it. So good for you.
Yes.
Do you have a sign for me?
Thank you. Yeah, listen, it's so interesting about this business is it's ever changing and there's all different directions that you can go in. And, it's exciting because you don't really know what's going to happen next or how it's going to happen. But you guys have done such an incredible job of navigating it all. And it's like, it's very inspiring to a couple like us. But then you've obviously transitioned. Now you wrote this book and you wrote it about it's Everybody Fights. And you say that you guys fight more than the average couple.
I mean, I think so. I don't know how much people fight because no one ever knows how much anybody else fights. We definitely.
I mean, I would definitely. We could definitely do some kind of competition here.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm very competitive.
For sure.
Yeah. Let's track. Now, I will say, like, and you mentioned that, like, you hit a rough spot. Like, we hit a rough spot, and I think it was. Yeah. probably when we started working together, because I think like
it was 100%
we work together. We live together. We raise kids together. I mean, there's bound to be some combustion there. And I think it put a microscope, just like when people are now home together with COVID, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, all of the cracks are exposed. All of the faults, like every single insecurity, everything was exposed. Listen, we weren't like rushing off to like dial a divorce attorney, but things were not good. And it was one of those things where we were like roommates, you know what I mean? And so we did the thing and we went to counseling and we got some help and we learned these things. We learned all these principles. We learned how to talk to each other. We found out all these like magic words and we found out all the ways we were screwing it up. And it changed our marriage. And our marriage is, we wrote this book with our like marriage counselor. And as he says, like, he'll tell you, like, we're different. Like, we're more fun to be around now together. Like, there's not that tension. Mm-hmm. And so just the nature of like how we are is that like, if I find a great new water bottle, I want to tell people about it. And like, we found out this cool way and this, you know, way to like impact our relationship. And I just wanted to share it with people. So like, that's why that was the inspiration behind the book.
What are your fighting or were your fighting styles? Like how were you both? What was different then that's not now? And
yeah, I mean, we're still guilty of some of the things, but definitely early on, I was a mansplainer or a talk down to her. And I got a lot of that from working in local news. And it wasn't a gender thing. Everyone just talked to everyone else incredibly abrasively when they had deadlines in newsrooms. I worked in 4 newsrooms. There was no polite newsroom anywhere. I wonder if what it's like now. Like the world has changed a lot. And
I bet it's different.
I bet it's different.
But you also would do this thing. So that became like, he brought that into our work life, which then affected our marriage life. But then you also, like anytime I cried, you would apologize right away.
Yep. Another thing. I was a pacifier. Like I needed to fix something as quickly as possible when we were in fights. So she would pull the ripcord and like get out of a moving car.
Yeah, I would just like hightail it. I'm done. I'm out.
Because
yeah.
She knew that that was how to hurt me, and she knew that was how to get what she wanted, which would be an apology. And I would immediately do that because I hate not being okay with everyone. I need everyone to be cool with me, right? Like if there's a rift, like I get pretty freaked out, which I've had to learn not to do. I've got to stand my ground and talk about these things. Some other stuff that we did. I'm trying to think of some of our other fighting styles. I was horrible at listening. I blamed it on ADHD for a long time. Yeah,
he's like, I have ADHD.
We can relate to that. Adam has ADHD also, yeah.
And it led to not listening. And then we have a huge chapter on this, not only not listening, but also interrupting because I had something that just couldn't hold its way in. And so I had to exercise patience and listening and work it out like a muscle and learn how to just like, there's this voice in my head that's like, shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up. Listen to her. Okay. She's still talking. Shut up. Shut up. Listen.
So even
listen,
if he's listen, not listen, truly listening, yeah. It looks like he's listening.
That's all that matters, right? Is that you look like you're listening. Yeah.
And he's much better now at like creating space and letting me finish a thought. And it's totally different because he would just jump in like jackhammer. Let's fix it. Let's fix the problem. Like sometimes you just need somebody to listen to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you do ask me to fix things.
I do.
But not when it comes to emotions.
But I'm very specific about it too. Like another thing I really sucked at is I really expected him to read my mind. Like I wanted him, like I would be upset about something, be like, oh, you okay? I'd be like, I'm fine. And I needed him to read my mind and know why I wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that's not a real effective way to have a great marriage.
No, mm-hmm. No.
No,
yeah, so no, that's like, really annoying, actually.
Why is that what I
mean? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well,
wait a minute, Danielle. I'm wondering.
Sometimes you think it's obvious, right? And you're sort of like, if you can't figure it out, I'm not telling you for the 100th time.
Don't you find that when you're fighting, you're always fighting, like the fight turns into you're fighting about your fighting style rather than what you were initially fighting about?
Like you kind of forget what the argument was. It's just now you're mad at each other because of your fighting styles. Like I'm reserved, I'm set back, I don't say much, which pisses her
off. That's a very nice way to describe it. You're reserved.
I am. I'm very reserved, and I just, you know, I stand my ground and I listen to you scream.
No, you're like an empty vessel.
So like we're polar opposites of fighting styles, where she'll scream and yell and cry and blubber and grit, and I'll just stand there and shut up and listen.
Take it.
And that's it. So and we fight because I'm not speaking and she's yelling. And
I feel like you would benefit from, like, so there's like wartime and peacetime, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a peacetime conversation where you can have a discussion with, there's no like weight around it, about your fighting style, and you just zoom out. And so I discovered I turned into an asshole like at 9:30 because I get up really early. So he would bring something up at the end of the day.
Also when you're hungry.
Hungry, glass of wine.
Or if you, wine doesn't work.
Wine doesn't work. Tequila makes me mean.
We just talked about that in the last episode.
Yeah, so like if I didn't get enough sleep, like I'm very particular.
Or if anything's going on with your family.
Honey.
I'm giving examples.
So now we know.
Very helpful.
He would come in at 9:30 and be like, hey, that thing earlier today, and now it would immediately, I'm triggered because I'm tired. I'm, you know, like all these things. And so now if there's something to talk about, I mean, if there's something to happen at 9:30, you fight at 9:30, but if it can wait, we wait till the next day. Everybody's rested. Is this hey, can I talk to you? Mm-hmm. Conversation. And so I have to say that it was huge because we would like wait until the kids went to bed. No, now they see us work it out. Mm-hmm. You know? So,
yeah, I think that's important too. Like I, first of all, with the pandemic, where are you going to fight? But even still, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also have some advice that I'm going to give to Adam. He doesn't have to take it. But like you, you mentioned that you don't normally project and get out in these fights, and she would like to know more of what's going on in your mind. She may or may not have used the term empty vessel of emotion.
Yeah. I'm going to make him a t-shirt.
We have these things called magic words in the book that help just kind of get the fight going. And what I'm hearing,
or like not fight going, but just no, like help you
advance
kind of
things.
Work through it.
What I'm hearing is that Danielle would like her emotions to be validated, which I understand. You don't really need to say anything super out loud about how you feel if you don't want to. If you want to, you can just say, "I hear you," and then like repeat something she just said.
So what I hear you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear you're saying you would like it if I didn't.
Yeah.
Like if I picked up my crap in the garage.
Even if you don't agree with it, you can say, "I hear you." Then you can bring in like your, whatever your feelings
I hear are. You. And so what I hear you're saying is when I leave my shit all over the floor.
See, now you're trying to use this as an example of something that I've done wrong.
and then honestly, for me, it does work. Cause I'm like, yes, that is what, and sometimes it's not, he's like, "Oh, I thought you," like it really does clarify what the core of what she's trying to say is. And then you go, "Tell me more." And then she's going to tell you. And like, I think.
But I don't want to hear more.
Right. Well, that's the whole problem.
You know?
Okay. But even if you just say, "I hear you," like, let's say this fight is about leaving socks on the floor. I know it's not, but like, "I hear you. You don't like it when I leave socks on the floor." I feel like socks on the floor are not that big a deal to me. I feel like socks belong on the floor because my feet are on the floor.
We need to workshop this pretend fight stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can go from there saying, so we've had this fight, honestly, but it makes me feel better when the floor is clean and there's no compromise on this. When the floor, like I can't, it can't be half clean.
But I don't like to bend over. I'm very tall and I have a bad back. And so sometimes.
Have you tried squatting?
Or just sit down and then walk them over. And anyway, so.
Get him one of those, the things with the kids, the claw. Yes.
And you know, the claw. His parents live in a nursing home, use them. I'm going to get up and throw it.
See, I have all the solutions for you guys.
Thank you. It's in our book.
What about going to bed angry? Because everybody always says you don't go to bed angry. And quite honestly, I find this to be impossible. Yeah. And I, like you said, you're so tired and everything. At a certain point, I'm sort of like, and Adam too. And, you know, I have to say, we don't fight a lot anymore. I mean, we definitely, when we do, it is like a volcano has erupted, and that's a whole, we still have tons of work to do, obviously. But I mean, it used to literally be like, you know, we were fighting all the time, yeah. But people say, don't go to bed angry. And I'm sort of like, well, I don't want to stay up until 3 a.m. and it's not going to get resolved at 3 a.m. anyway.
Right. So come, yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're 100% right, and we subscribe to go to bed angry. That was really tough for me, by the way, until I realized that she was going to be there when I woke up.
You know what I mean? Or not.
Well, I had to work on that, but yes, I was going to stay.
So that was her thing. She was going to stay. Right. I was going to go to sleep without continuing the argument. But when you talk about that meta communication, when you take that break and you take a 30,000 foot like look at the fights that you're having, one of the biggest things are, if you're tired, you're hungry, if you have had a long day, your sympathetic nervous system acts like, if you were a caveman hunting saber-toothed tigers, and it gets in like a fight or flight state where you literally cannot say words as well as you normally do. So if you're tired and you're in a fight and you think, man, I'm so mad, I don't even know what to say to you right now, it's because the Broca section of your brain, sorry, am I?
He was manspreading on me, sorry.
Was I? Okay. It's because that was aggressive though.
I know.
The Broca section of your brain that basically controls speech, when you're in that like really tense situation, breaks down and you are not as eloquent and don't know how to speak as well as you can when you're not like that. So unless you want to like take some time and take like a deep breath, take 5 minutes, go for a walk, pet your dog or whatever, it's probably a good idea just to go to sleep and do all those things the next day. But you have to have an understanding that like we still love each other. We're going to bed. We're going to pick this up.
And you can't commit to it. Yeah. And commit to, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, like set a date for it, because what can happen and what did happen with us in the beginning was we would just keep putting it off. And then it was 3 days of silence, which the fight you're not having is usually the worst, right? So set a date, set a time to talk about it is kind of how we do it now. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you guys, you guys talk about a few different fights in your book, but I wanted to know what you find, because I know what I think about when I think about our 20 plus years together. There is one fight in particular that probably, I'll ask you too, Adam, sticks out in our mind is like the most ridiculous. Like I look back and I'm like, we were such more like, what? That was the dumbest fight ever. What's yours?
We've got a lot of them. So no, we wrote about like
the dumbest one.
What, the 10 fights that like we feel like everybody has, and that's what we try to write on those topics. Like, I do everything, you do nothing. We're not having sex enough. You spend too much money. So we like hit on those topics and kind of highlighted in an entertaining way. We hope our fights. I would think the most ridiculous in terms of just is the Snoop Dogg.
No, that was serious. The dumbest one was either the toilet paper or you getting furious because I asked you to put your bra back on.
So
I want to hear that one. Let's stick with that one. Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing, Danielle. Is it not true that once you take your bra off, it is physically impossible to put it back on?
100%. But these days I don't put it on ever. So yeah, but yes.
Correct. Yes. This was back
when women wore bras.
I meant like sports bras only, if that. So back when women wore bras, and bras, kids, were these really ancient torture devices. It was just a really hard, hard week of just like deadlines. And his parents both have Alzheimer's, and it's shit. It's crap. And we were like getting them into like this nursing home, and it was just crap. And it was just a long, crazy week. And so I am kind of, I do enjoy cooking, but have just taken on the role of like cooking. I'm just going to cook. I cook the dinners. And I had defrosted some really boring, like chicken thighs or something gross. And I had my broth. I was cooking. I was like in my sweatpants. And he rings up. He's like, hey, let's go out to eat. And let's go get some chicken wings. And I'm like, I just took my broth. And he's like, well, put it back on. Let's go out. And
you snapped.
And I snapped because he's like, what's the big deal? And so the fight obviously wasn't just about that. It was just like, he wasn't even. And so we had a really long fight that started with, I wouldn't put my bra back on.
But it skipped into
but you never do this. And right. You always do this. And you're never spontaneous. And you don't take me seriously. And it was basically, and then you say that out loud and it's like, just get takeout, you know, right. Like, don't be an idiot. No, we let it spiral and really explode. It was really funny. Like in hindsight, it's ridiculous.
Right. But obviously it had nothing to do with the bra and it was about a thousand other things. Yeah. But so what happened? Did you go out to eat?
No, he ate nasty chicken. No. And it was like, I didn't feel like he was, you know, I'd put all this effort into like feeding our family and he didn't appreciate it. So he sat there and ate the nasty like chicken with like cauliflower rice. And it was really gross. And he ate.
That was the smart move, Penn.
I know.
Proud of you.
Yeah. I mean, the conversation took like 40 right turns into like, it got into, like she said, spontaneous and like spending too much money. We stopped at every possible stop of every fight that we've ever had.
I'm like, oh, what are we made of money now? You missed a Rockefeller?
And, yeah. The kids were there and we fight in front of our kids. It's just something that we think it's smart so they can see what normal people do. And but mm-hmm. That one like, didn't really get resolved.
We like legit took it to our marriage counselor and he was like, okay. And he has this analogy and we put in there's like stay in the airport. Like when you're in the airport, you're like, I want to go to Miami. I want to go to just stay there and work it out. And work that one fight, your one fight at a time. And we skipped around so much that it spiraled and we were kind of famous for that. Like we would talk about every fight every time. So now it's like one fight at a time and you really get to the bottom of it and you don't have that fight again.
Mm-hmm. Can you think about what I was going to say?
What was your most ridiculous?
No, I was thinking.
It was in our condo.
Condo. Is it at the mall? Oh no, you're thinking the pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ours was about a pot in the sink that literally we both decided the other one should wash. There was one, it was just the two of us that we were in. I mean, when I tell you our first condo was the size of this room, it literally was. And we
were 21, 22.
Right. And I was studying in school. He was working, but I was like studying for exams and I had used the pot. I will say I had used the pot.
Case closed.
But he had gone into the kitchen like 12 times and I was like studying for an exam. And every time he would go into the kitchen, he would just pass by the pot and leave. And I would just see him do that back and forth. And I was like, I cannot believe he sees me sitting there. He's like in the fucking kitchen and he won't clean the pot. And it turned into that this pot like had mold at the bottom after a week because we were like, you clean the pot. No, you clean the fucking pot. It was like, I mean, by the time I threw the pot away because
it got
to the point where we were like, neither of us wanted to admit that we should clean the pot. So we just threw it away. And I mean, it was the whole thing was that he never thought I did enough. I never thought he did enough. And, you know, it was like this challenge of, well, you should be doing for me. Well, you should be doing more for me. Like it so was
just now. Like, how would you have handled that now?
Well, we're still trying to resolve this issue.
Right.
We still just throw like shit away from right. the sink because we
It's the best. I actually, it solves a lot of problems just to throw away dishes. Yeah.
I have this mental law called the law of 150%.
Why because I love it when he tries to explain it, but I love it. Go ahead.
If you, there is only 100% of work that can be done in a relationship. Each member believes they are doing
about 75%
more than they're actually doing. So if you think you're doing 100% of the work, you're probably doing 75%. And if I think I'm doing 50% of the work, I'm probably doing 25%. So you have to like subtract 25% from whatever you think you're doing.
Yeah.
And because it always adds up to 150. Like we both think, like she thinks that she does 75% of the work. And I think I do 75% of the work when really we do 50%. We just, our egos cause us to like elevate the amount of work that we think that we're doing.
Yeah. And I think that now I would say now we're very 50-50, but we had some really effed up, like we call them secret contracts. Like when we got married, like I do enjoy cooking. So I always did the cooking, which meant I had to do the grocery shopping, which meant I had to do this. And then he always did X, Y, Z. And so we just took on those roles, but then you add kids in there and the cooking and the cleaning up and like all that became, and then, so it was this big, I do everything, you do nothing. And so we had to sit down and like, you know, like really define, like, these are the roles, this is what I do.
Well, yeah, what are our roles? And are there roles that are unspoken that you don't like, that you liked? And you got to talk about that.
Because I actually do enjoy cooking, so I don't mind that part. But the burden of, well, that means I have to go to the grocery store, and that sucks. So now, like, well, now we're like getting groceries delivered because of the plague. But but like, I'll send him, there's ways that like we've had to, because I don't love that part of it.
But that can lead to a lot of fights. That was not a toilet paper fight. Anyway.
Yeah. So that it is. And I also think like another mantra of ours is like mature people ask for what they want. And I think that fight, the pot fight could have been, it's like, hey, sweetie, I'm so stressed studying. Could you help me out? Could you wash the pot? Like, and then maybe he would have said no, I don't know. But like now I'm much better now about asking for help. Because I don't know, is it a female thing that we just aren't comfortable asking for help, even from our partners? So I'm much better now asking for help.
Yeah, and right now I've never needed help more. I think everybody it's just, you know, there's no break whatsoever. It's insane. Yeah. That's where I feel I'm at. But you talk about a marriage counselor, you wrote the book with your marriage counselor. A lot, I don't know about you guys, because I know a lot of couples reach out to you. One of the biggest things we get from our listeners and, you know, our community and everything on social media is my partner won't go. My partner will not go to counseling. Yeah. And
No, I hear you. And was the partner the guy? Most of the time.
And it's hard to get your partner to go to counseling.
Yeah. So I was scared too. There's something in my brain, and I think it goes back to the traditional way that my parents were raised, where I felt the need to be the head of the household. And if we went into therapy, that was a reflection that I was failing at being the head of the household. It was a reflection of failure. If I went in.
Weakness, right?
Yeah. Luckily the guy, our counselor is a good friend of mine, and he made it comfortable for me to go in and talk to him. But
and that worked for him, by the way.
Yeah.
To have somebody that we knew.
Yeah.
That doesn't, whereas other people would be more comfortable with a perfect stranger. Yeah. And that's good too.
Here's the metaphor that I like to use, and kind of the sales pitch for guys who don't want to read the book or who don't want to get therapy. We have cars. Our cars get oil changed after 3,000 miles. We go and change the wiper fluid. We go and we clean them out. We don't wait for the cars to catastrophically break down because we just care about our cars and we want to fix them. For some reason, guys, when it comes to relationships and marriages, don't want to go into the mode of fixing them until something is like seriously effed up and like almost broken. So why don't we treat our marriages like we treat our cars? Why don't we go in for tune-ups and oil changes? Because it should be as important as your car, if not more important. I would say, let's go ahead and say marriage is more important than your car.
Yeah.
Men take care of themselves and the things around them and their children and everyone very, very well, but just aren't inclined to take care of their marriage in the same way because of like what I said, they're scared that it's failure, but it's really just, I think you can go to therapy as a tune-up and it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but don't you think maybe guys are like maybe too strong-minded in some way that they think they are taking care of their family, they are taking care of their relationship, they are taking care of everything until something goes wrong. They don't know that they're supposed to change the oil or they're supposed to change the wiper fluids, because they think everything is just going bright. Everything's going right until out of nowhere it breaks down and now there's a problem.
Yeah, you're right. And also guys are scared that if they go into the problem that they're going to be blamed for it. They really sure. do believe that it's going to be their fault when they walk in. And a good counselor doesn't assign fault. They talk about how to do it the right way. They talk about the actual art of fighting instead of who's right and who's wrong. And that was something very nice for me to see. And that breaks down, like that's where the strong will gets kind of placated and softens a bit when you get into our book or into therapy and mm-hmm. you see that it's not a blame game.
Well, yeah, I was the same way. I recently went to therapy the last couple of years. I was hesitant to go for years. Danielle was trying to get me to go speak to somebody, or, you know, and I just would brush it off and not think twice about it and not even give it consideration. And then finally, when we were at like our, you know, rock bottom, it was time to do something. And, you know, I went solo and I went to, you know, just go talk about me for a while. And I loved it. Yeah. I couldn't wait to go back the next week. I brought Danielle in. I brought my mother in. I was letting it all out and I was loving it. And I think it's a scary, not macho kind of thing to do until you get in there and realize what it is and what it does for you.
And I think you're helping
the irony. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you're helping so many people by
saying that,
and by doing this yeah. podcast and talking about that. And if people buy the book, whatever, great. If it helps people communicate better and be better partners, like I'll call it a success. But if we can destigmatize and therapy, just normalize yeah. like getting help and therapy in your mm-hmm. like what should be your most important relationship, like, you know, yay us.
Yeah, I was going to say the irony was of it all was that when he started going to therapy, I had never been more turned on in my entire life. Like I was like, oh my, he's actually willing to go and do the work. I just thought it was like the sexiest thing ever. And the irony of it all was that I think he thought everyone was going to see it as a weakness when really I think it's a huge turn on to see your partner like working for your marriage and trying to save it and doing the work. I don't know. So it's just so funny.
Hot to see yes. like somebody that's like into you enough to like go self-examine and be self-aware. Not like that.
Yeah,
like,
we co-examine. We don't self-examine.
yes, but just to be self-aware, I agree. It's super hot.
Yeah. For real.
And it does work, you know, from to close it out there for anybody who's listening, like it does our relationship, you know, after all the work that we both have done is the best. You know, we still fight. We said that before, but we're probably in the best place we've ever been since we first met. And it takes a lot of work. And that's part of the work.
And it's worth it, right?
Yeah, for sure. And now it's so great because like you don't even have to go anywhere. You just Zoom with your counselor.
Oh my gosh. I do therapy for like on my own too. Yeah. And she's in LA. And I'm like, this is great. Like I never would have thought I'd have access at that it was kind of therapy was kind of a pain in the butt before because you had to drive there. So now I just go into my room. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, COVID, you know, this whole quarantine kind of has its perks too. That's one of them. So tell everybody, like, first of all, what is the big takeaway? I mean, obviously everyone should buy the book and you have already made like 12 awesome points. I'm going to use the airport thing for sure. But tell her, like, what do you want the big takeaway to be? And, you know, what do you hope people get the most out of the book? And
I hope that they get a chance to look at the scripts that our counselor has given us, like the actual actionable things, the magic words, the sentences, the phrases that you can say that like help you connect during a fight and at least get it pointed in the right direction. I really hope that that's something that people catch on to. And I hope that people realize that like good marriages can be great.
Right.
And this is like a good gateway into that. Yeah. Also, I hope they realize that like doing this apparently is hot. Like I didn't know that.
I mean, it's turn on. Yeah. Guys, you heard it here first.
Danielle says it's hot. So apparently this is also a good way to have sex.
yes.
So there you go.
Yes. Therapy does lead to sex. I mean, chore play leads to sex. Therapy leads, chore play does lead to sex. I'm a big believer in that. Not everybody is. I have people argue with me a lot about that. That chores.
No, I'm acts of service all the way. So like he'll take my car to like get an oil change, or like he got new tires put on my car. Swear to God. Yeah. I was like, when are you home? I mean, come on. Like, yeah, let's do this thing. That's so hot. And it was very strange. It's so strange.
And will the book be turned into a movie?
Worst movie ever. But it is on. We just did the audiobook recording,
and
we had a lot of fun with that. Yeah,
we didn't super follow the script. All of the words in the book are in the Audible plus some additional stuff.
Things.
Yeah.
I only listen to audiobooks. It's the best.
I know. He brought his guitar in. He did some weird songs.
Oh, fun. That's awesome. Yeah.
And they were wanting us to get the official, the audiobook people were like, you need to license these songs.
I still have to fill that out. I need you to fill out your ISDN.
And he's like, this wasn't XP. A real song. I just started singing things. They're like, it's a real song now. He's like,
oh. I have to register it with a union or something.
Yeah, it is real weird. Yeah.
It wasn't a very good
song. Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. It was so awesome to talk to you. And, I can't wait to see what you guys do next, because you're such innovators and you're doing, obviously you're doing awesome. And, we look up to you guys. So it's
fun. Thank you. Well, and thank you for what you do with your podcast. And you guys kind of leave it all out there. It's awesome.
You're doing great things.
Thank you so much. It's really, thank you. It's fun to talk to you. So I hope everyone buys the book, and I'm assuming it's going to be available everywhere.
Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. And lots of good bra stories and everything. So
There's bras, there's toilet paper, there's sex and vibrators. It's all the things.
They're all in there.
Love it. Vibrator fights are they're my jam. So
like they're lightsabers.
Yeah, sure. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night. It was great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, definitely. All right.
Yes, we'll
bye, guys.
Okay. Bye.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.